How have you not seen this? Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This. As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows. Once again, I am joined by Laura Sanders.
Hello.
And Lisa Berry.
Hello.
And we just tackled Die Hard with a Vengeance in our ongoing run at the Die Hards 2 through 4. One of the better installments in the franchise has the good sense to pair Bruce Willis with Samuel L. Jackson for great results. John McTiernan, who directed the original, is back in the director's chair this time, which also goes a long way on this one. And they decide, just like the Indiana Jones series, that the second one kind of dovetailed off when they strayed too far from the formula. So they're like, hey, let's have them fight Nazis in the third one again. So the Groobers are back in a big way this time. So, I'm not going to ask you, Lisa, because it's redundant at this point, so we know why you haven't seen it.
Right.
But Laura Sanders, how have you not seen this?
Because I'm an idiot. It was so good. I just never got around to it. I watched 2 last year sometime, and then 3 just had never been available to me.
Okay.
And honestly, because I didn't know Samuel Jackson, and yeah. I feel like if someone would have told me, I would have already seen
it. I was so shocked when you came over, you're like, Samuel Jackson is in this. It was a huge revelation. I was like, how did you not know?
I was maybe going to keep it a secret, because then if Lisa didn't know, it would have been such an awesome surprise. He's always like this fun surprise in movies that you don't know he's in.
Yeah.
But man.
You were so excited. You just came through the door and you're like, hey, I brought smoothies for everyone. Samuel L. Jackson is in this.
It was so, beautiful.
Oh my god, this movie
the perfect
so good.
Samuel Jackson in it, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He makes bad movies good. So the fact that this was like already a fun, good movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, icing on the cake.
Yeah. Let's, so obviously, the response to this one, very positive.
Oh my gosh, yeah, this is...
I'm exhausted, but it's positive.
That was a big emotional journey.
So now that you've seen 2 and 3, and we still have 1 more left in the mix, mm-hmm. we've got the majority of the franchise sort of in context. How do you feel about Die Hard with a Vengeance compared to 2, which we've watched?
I mean, it was so good. Die Hard with a Vengeance was so good. I mean, so now I do get why you were so down on 2. Because 2 was very fun, but this one was, legit good.
Yeah, yeah.
This was so good.
2 was like I'll watch it if it's a holiday movie. Like, why not? It's holiday themed, but this is I'd watch it every time. Yes. And I would actually maybe watch this one again if I, like, someone had not seen it. I'd watch it again with them. Where 2, like, I've seen it twice now. That's plenty.
Yeah.
I know what's up.
Also, Die Hard with a Vengeance... way less stupid title than Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
Yeah.
Die Harder. Also, with a vengeance, it's just like, it's fun to say.
And
I
it
was
makes,
thrilled.
Yeah. Makes sense. The guy had a vengeance.
Yeah,
against
Die Hard with a Vengeance, Jurassic Park with a Vengeance.
I like to do more things
with
a
vengeance.
Yeah. Ernest goes to camp with a vengeance.
And it does make sense, because I feel like a lot of action movies say with a vengeance.
Yeah.
But like this actually had revenge in mind.
Yeah.
Like there was, he was avenging or revenge. Do you avenge or revenge a death?
You avenge.
So,
although
so
sometimes
it's
fun to say, I'm going to revenge somebody.
So this is literally with a vengeance, like, avenge me.
Yeah.
You can have the space or not.
Right.
Also, let's obviously, all 3 of us fucking love this.
Oh my god.
One thing was sort of the dialogue in this movie, so much better than 2.
Samuel Jackson, again, he's a natural dialogue star.
Yep.
Yes.
Even though I thought it hit a little heavy on the race stuff, I have to remember, too, it was made in 1995.
Yeah.
Not in our post-racial window.
There
were still those issues. But at first I was like, get off it. But I do like that they, like, fought and, like, worked a lot of things out.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's like, hey, this criminal is not racist. He wants to murder everybody.
Yeah.
He sees gold.
Well, and I also like, too... like, there are so many of those moments in Die Hard 2 that we talked about where John McClane will, like, quip something, and it just feels so forced.
Yeah.
And everything he says is just completely natural.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this one, like, he mentions, like, 6 times, like, he's got a bad fucking headache. He's suffering from a hangover.
Yeah.
It's like, that's what you do when you have a hangover. You just constantly remind people that you feel like shit.
Yes, exactly. I think it was... way more natural. The interactions, like the combative interactions.
Yeah.
And I like, too, that Samuel Jackson, when they're like, you have to help, he's like, fuck you, I have to help.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. And that was a very natural reaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that he even said, like, the whole reason he helped him out is he's like, I don't want a white cop getting murdered in Harlem.
Yeah.
But I'm like, God, he's even smarter.
That makes sense,
than,
yeah.
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 He's not, so they don't set him up as just like, I'm just this really nice guy that wants to help out everyone.
And he's like, ah, I don't want cops killing everyone in my neighborhood, or my fucking nephews, or whoever else.
Zeus looks out for Zeus.
Yeah.
And Zeus's family.
Also, the greatest fucking, like, comedy, like, action comedy sidekick name ever, Zeus.
Zeus. Oh,
yes.
So good.
So great.
And it's intro very well, like, Zeus, like Olympus. And then I think he said lightning rod up your ass, because that was the main
rain
threat.
Down lightning rods, don't fuck with me, Zeus.
Yes.
so good. There's also, I like, too, on top of, like, the script kind of getting back to form, there's some things that, like, they shift, like some of those tropes they had, too. Like, you don't have the idiot, like, bureaucracy this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they don't make fun of the media.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the media wasn't... I mean, they, like, have one throwaway line about the media, but...
Which actually makes sense, where they're like, don't tell the media that there's a bomb at a school somewhere.
Yeah,
that would be very bad.
Yeah, it created panic.
Yeah.
So, like, everything is rational. And also... Like, there's maybe one moment where Inspector Cobb, McClane's CO, has that moment where he's like, is McClane drunk? But it's simply because, oh, people are stealing gold in dump trucks. That sounds ludicrous.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, like...
McClane is a drunk.
Yeah. He is. Yeah, he might still be drunk.
But,
this morning.
But that's it. That's literally... That's the only moment where, like, he's incredulous and doesn't...
Yeah. Yes.
And even then, he still is like, all right, well, we're still going to keep operating on the assumption that there's a bomb in a school and that everything...
Right.
Like, that lives are at stake and we're not going to get hung up on shit and doubt McClane.
Yes. I also really like... That in this one, like, it's not just by wacky chance that he's in this circumstance.
Yeah,
like,
that
it's
very
specific.
Specific
from the first one. Because I'm like, if there was, like, another one where it's, like, crazy thing happened, you happen to be where this, like, terrorist was, I'd be like, okay.
Come on.
Like, I know they're, like, kind of hard to believe to begin with because they're very extreme action movies.
But
I wanted to start believable.
Yes. I mean, because I feel like the second one was very, very much a sequel.
Very.
Whereas this, if this had just been a movie on its own, it still would have been really good.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
It's not dependent on being part of the Die Hard franchise. I think that is
absolutely.
What made it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The fucking action sequences.
Oh my god.
Very good. My
so
favorite
good.
Murder of all of them happened in this one, too.
The
cable severed?
Yeah.
That was, like, the most surprising. Like, there was no, like, fight scene or anything. It was just like, oh, that man just got cut in half by a cable.
By a fucking Ford Eldorado or whatever swinging down on the cable.
But even, like the standard ones with the woman slashing the guy's throat, I was like, whoa, because they still, like, it just happens so suddenly and so deliberately.
Also,
just, like, I am just cutting this guy's head off.
A ballerina with a knife is
what
that was.
That really brings up, these villains were so good, and Lisa described it as, it is terrifying to see a group of villains walk quietly and calmly through a space.
Oh my god, it was like a horror movie.
And they were masters of contrast in this, where it was like, oh my god, we're yelling, we're fighting, we're fighting, all the good guys were fighting, and then these villains were just like, I've got this shit.
Right.
I'm gonna calmly ruin everything for you. And that was really impressive.
It was really, because it almost made me think of, like, Stepford Wife kind of thing. Like,
It
was just like, it was terrifying.
They, like, were emotional.
Oh, yes.
How have I not done Stepford Wives on here yet? That's such a good movie. I have to remember that movie. Oh, we'll put that on the, dying. That's a great movie. Yeah, I also, I love, especially with Jeremy Irons going off what Lisa was saying about the calmness of the villains. Shoots Samuel L. Jackson in the knee, and then just eats a hard-boiled egg, like, right after he shot him.
Yes!
And then, like, when they're robbing, like, the Federal Reserve, when he's on the phone with the Klan, like, he's just, like, walking with his hand behind his back, like, very Stringer Bell.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Just, like, very calm and collected,
while
he's doing all this, like, oh, good, we're stealing just millions of dollars in gold bricks.
I'm awkward taking a phone call at work just at a normal day job.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I have to go outside 1 second. Sorry. And he just was calmly just very owned to the space.
Yeah. I hate talking on the phone even when I'm in, like, a private space.
And they're always so, like, clean and just, like, put together, and all their shirts were tucked in.
Yeah.
Like, it was just very...
That immaculate tank top.
Yeah. They dressed up for it.
That the soldier lady ripped.
I know.
She was
trying to
fuck him at the end. I was like, come on.
I mean, succeeding him. She wasn't trying.
Yeah. Just ripped.
They go
like,
through a lot of tank tops in their relationship.
It's like, come on, his dick is not in his tank top. Let's talk about the McClane's tank top.
Oh, it's back. It was
with a vengeance.
Yeah. This movie like jumps into everything. Like, we get through a minute of Summer in the City in the very beginning, and then boom, an explosion. Right? All right, 5 minutes in. Okay, John McClane is wearing a sign in Harlem that says, "I hate the N-word."
Yes.
And then they're shooting, and they just get right into it.
To be fair, he didn't say, "I hate the N-word." He said, "I hate N-words."
Yeah.
Because if he went around Harlem saying, "I hate the N-word," people would be like, "I agree, like, too."
They'd be like, "It's weird that you keep saying that out loud, but yeah, you get it."
He's not like, "I hate this racist slur." He's like, "I'm using this racist slur."
Yeah, yeah. and he has the tank top from the very beginning.
Yeah, immediately in the tank top.
And then
out of it. He, like, ups it to shirtless.
Honestly, here's what I think happened. I think he gained weight for the second one, and they were like, "You can't wear the tank top." And so then he beefed up and was like, "I'm going to look good." And then they came in, and they wanted him to wear a shirt. And he's like, "No, I did this for a reason. I'm going to have this entire fucking
movie. I look fucking good." Yeah. If we can get my shirt out. And they brought back duct tape and the gun to his back very briefly.
Yes.
Which
very
I love.
Good. Always. Thank goodness he doesn't have a hairy back.
Yep. Always happy to see that.
Yeah, I really... And, man, Samuel Jackson's character, so good. My only complaint is, why didn't they give him a fake badge or something to help him on his journey?
Some kind of, like, an honorary deputy.
Yeah, exactly. Something that when a cop is aiming a gun at him and being like this, he can explain, like, this is police work. Where if a crazy person yelling, "This is police work," doesn't have a badge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tricky.
Yeah.
Like... They honestly, they could have just given him a loner badge. Like, not even had to draft any police officer. Like, that's all. They didn't even need to give him a gun. They probably should have.
Yes.
But, like, he could have just walked in the subway and be like, "Oh, I'm a cop. I'm going to jump this turnstile."
Yeah, exactly. I got to go. And then it's like, got it. I know. Mm-hmm. The criminals, though, were prepared with badges and fake badges this time. And they got much farther than the other criminals did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Total death toll us. But that wasn't their goal.
They're not monsters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn near got away with it, too.
I know.
They did. They were so close.
I know. There's, like, part of me that wanted them to.
I know.
Because they actually prepared. Criminals in 2, we discussed this on the previous podcast. I would hope you would have listened. But they were, like, 2 months of prep. Terrible. This was, like, prepped as shit.
I feel like they had been prepping since his brother died.
Yes.
Like, here's what we're going to do.
I know. The explosions, the distractions, like, it really, like...
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. Like, the wild card, I think, that saved the day was Samuel Jackson. Because if Samuel Jackson wouldn't have shown up in the equation, McClane would have been murdered.
Wait, right out the gate.
And wouldn't have had a helper.
Here's my question. Why did they want Samuel Jackson to have to do all this stuff with him? What was the motivation?
I think it was out of spite because he intervened.
Yes, I really think Gruber planned on him just getting murdered in Harlem, or at least like the shit beat out of him past recognition. And Samuel Jackson, like,
but he still had all of the other stuff set up. Like, he still had those 2 water bottles that they had to fill. And
contingencies.
Contingencies.
You don't make that big elaborate plan and then not see it through to the beginning. Just be like, no, he'll die in the first part of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like part of him wanted him not to die in the first part. Maybe just got beat up. Because
he wanted him to be roughed up.
Like, listen, I spent a lot of time on the scavenger hunt.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he had backup.
Yeah.
But then that's the other thing, too, is, like, McClane didn't have a radio. How are they going to know? They're like, we give it 15 minutes.
I know, we'll swing back and get
you. That's what it is. Yeah, they say we'll swing back in 15. I was like, that's a long time.
Yeah.
That's... Like, I would maybe swing back in 5.
Right.
And he even says, like, take your time, I expect to be done in 4.
Yeah, I know, and it's like, they saw the sign. At that point, I hadn't even seen the sign he had to wear. I thought he just had to wander around. I was like, the bad guy that made him do this is probably going to kill him in 4 minutes.
Right.
And I'm like, no, you can't wait 15 minutes with someone walking around a racist sign. No. No good. The no clothes did help him look crazy.
Absolutely.
But it didn't seem to help him.
Right.
And he still got a bottle smashed on his head.
Well, then it escalated when Zeus tried to do something, because then he gets cut.
I felt so bad for him.
That's
a nice knife action.
A whole lot of knife action.
Oh, you said that you missed a point from yesterday's movie that you wanted to bring up. Do you remember what that point was?
Oh, shit.
Was it the post-9/11?
Yes, that's absolutely what it was. Because Die Hard 2, it would be really hard for that to happen now.
Especially with the planes.
I mean, they would immediately, everybody would know this is a terrorist.
In every possible aspect. Like, even not counting the stupidity of relying and hoping that the worst blizzard of the year is going to come in onto your plan. But, like, But yeah, like, all the guys walking around with no clearance, no baggage.
Yeah, just
like,
sneaking indoors.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, we're going to go through where the luggage gets taken right. through and sorted and everything. Like,
yeah.
No, you can't do yeah. that.
I
like,
know.
And even just, like, yeah, like, the, oh, punk kids broke in. Like, now it would still be like, but maybe they are terrorists.
Yeah.
Like, even
yes.
if they were clearly punk kids. Or
punk kids, yeah, it was just a box cutter, too. Like, so,
right,
yeah.
Right, and the woman like, having the taser on the plane.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, well, and the cops, like, just take that lackadaisical attitude to begin with. It was like,
we'll
worry about it later. It's Christmas. I can't respond
yes,
to every
right,
little thing.
Right.
Yeah, every little thing, like someone getting murdered on a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Happens every Christmas. But with this one, too, I feel like this one, like, not that it couldn't happen, but, like, just this movie couldn't get made now.
Right.
Yeah,
like, you have, like,
yeah,
explosions in New York and...
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and even, it was just so weird, like, it was almost eerie because they have that throwaway line, like,
yeah.
oh, yeah, you were there for the World Trade Towers, like, that little
but,
thing.
Yeah.
Back when there was, like, something else that had happened.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, now, like, obviously, like, it was
nice.
Just, like, ooh, weird.
A movie
right
would
now.
Never casually be, like,
you
know
that
little
thing.
You remember when, you know, the worst attack on America
yeah.
ever happened.
I know.
That whole to-do.
But,
I
yeah,
know.
I think, I mean, even a lot of schools in New York, I think it would be just harder to get, like, a thing in, like, because there's...
Yeah.
Yeah,
know,
the level of spirit. And,
yeah.
and, like, not even necessarily, like, just from 9/11 alone, like, just, like, the increase
school,
in school shootings
yeah.
and stuff and violence
yeah.
in general. So,
but I will say, these criminals were very well prepared. So if anybody
yes.
could have done it, these
oh,
guys
absolutely.
Were
absolutely.
Yeah, they had the badges. Because if you think about the amount of preparation, they had to put the big fake bomb in the school,
yes.
which involves
yep.
like a whole other team.
Yes.
When
yep.
you look though at their celebration at the end, there were a lot of them.
There, yeah.
And
oh, yeah, it was a...
When
yeah.
when you see a bunch of like Germans calmly talking and like talking about the Lisbons, that seems scary, but like they were very good at their fake accents.
Yes.
They were so
to all
good.
Their acting
yes.
classes that they took.
Yes.
Because they like really were good at their fake accents. And so I could see them looking very just like... That was like another play on the race thing that's like anybody trust a friendly white guy with
yeah.
a southern accent just calmly walking into an
yep.
area.
Right.
Like that is...
I mean, and that's something that they had in common with the first movie is because the first
yes.
movie also was like such a good plan. That was one of the
yeah.
things I loved about it.
Yes.
And again, I just think like the
Grubers.
Yeah.
yeah, the Grubers are good
yeah.
planners.
Well, I think you
just
even
McClane.
Said when we were watching the first one that you kind of wanted to see them succeed, if I
yeah.
remember
yeah.
right.
Yeah, that's right. It was like, because yeah, during the
I felt the same
one,
way about
yeah.
this one.
Yeah,
yeah, like it's very carefully laid out.
There's like, oh, because like the Ocean's 11 thing, there's like a version of this movie that could get made where they're the good guys who just get away with $40 billion.
You're right.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
because
they have this crazy...
Because it's, like, this evil Western, like,
yes.
all the money. Because I did think in this one, like, the main thing that made me turn against them, because especially when I found out that the bomb in the school wasn't real, I was
yeah.
like, they're just pranksters. Like, they...
They're just having a lark.
But they murdered his cop friend the,
yeah.
with the badge,
yeah.
and that was, like, okay.
The German.
And the bomb that
the
went
German
off.
Murdered his cop friend.
But, oh, and they were just tranking a lot of
yeah.
people.
And then
right?
they said
yeah.
no shooting, and that guy was like...
Okay, so that's like
nine.
You hire the wrong
but,
person.
But I mean, two bombs
yeah.
did get detonated.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
they,
that's true. They did murder a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And they would have murdered way more on the subway.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think there's a version that could get made where they're
oh,
just
yeah.
bombs. We're just
oh, yeah,
get
certainly.
Yeah.
But also, like, the Otto, the cop that kills Ricky, one of the guys even says it's one of Torgo's thugs. Which is the big fucking tall dude that McClane fights like in the shipping hole.
Oh yeah.
And that like what I love about the first movie and this one is that like the terrorist plot is a fucking front for a heist.
Yes,
yes.
And that's how they trick Torgo, who's clearly like this extremist, like political, like fucking
yes.
mercenary. They're
and
all
he
like,
thinks it's
yeah, this is to strike
terrorist.
A blow against the West, and it's like. You're keeping the money? No. What about striking a blow for the
it's
homeland?
Like, and
they're
all like, $40 billion.
Yeah,
yes.
Like,
and honestly, you can get best of both worlds if you say you're going to lose the
yeah.
$40 billion and then you just keep it.
Exactly,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
yeah. So, like,
it's
I fucking love that. And I much prefer that being a story element than, like, just straight-up terrorism.
Yes,
it.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, like, it's so boring anymore. Like,
yeah.
haven't you seen Iron Man 3?
No. Sorry.
This
really
podcast is
going to
be changed to Lisa and Laura. How have you not seen any movies?
What?
I feel like after we do this in the Terminator movies, we should do a romantic comedy that you have not seen that we've all seen.
Let's
good luck finding
romantic
the format. Yeah.
I love romantic
okay,
stuff.
Okay, or okay, there's got to be something that you
we're
going to
figure
seen.
It out.
We'll find one.
It'll take right. 45 minutes on this podcast. So we'll
okay,
do it.
Yeah,
hold on, guys.
Days.
You're
yeah.
going to love it.
Well, we'll say, Iron Man 3 does a very similar
okay.
thing with that trope. And a lot of people fucking hated it, and I think it makes complete sense
that they hated
like,
it.
Well, no, no, no. The plot point makes sense. Yeah, like,
okay.
Like, and that's the thing too is everybody now like they want to put like a face to something.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yeah, it's hard for me to explain without going into Iron Man.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Iron Man 3.
But it's
the listeners of this podcast might have not seen Iron Man 3 as well.
But it's real. I care. I'm not as worried about the listeners. I'm more worried about
you. You hear that, listeners? He doesn't give a shit about you. Dustin Meadows is the terrorist of podcasts.
Iron Man 3 has been out for a year. I feel like most people who really, really wanted to see Iron Man 3 would have seen it by now.
That's true.
But
fair enough.
But yeah, but no, I like the idea of using terrorism as kind of like a red herring.
Yeah, I do.
Like as a misdirect. I think that's really good.
My two favorite movie styles, I always say, are Cat and Mouse and Who Can You Trust?
Yeah.
Are like the two that I like. Any movie that has that, even if it's a shitty movie. And this had both so much.
Yeah.
The like whole like chase scavenger hunt. And then plus like you have no idea what their original intention is.
Yes.
Oh, all of it.
Yeah. And I, well, one of my favorite things in a movie is when it happens in a very confined period of time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all of the Die Hard. So I love that.
Yeah.
Like it's the craziest day ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, in 24 hours, it's going to be over.
Yes.
But, like, what's going to happen in that 24 hours?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's essentially a heist movie.
Yeah. So Die Hard movies, like, are our friendship movies. They're like, they have all three things that we love.
Yep.
And Samuel Jackson, always I love
movies. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Samuel Jackson.
Have you seen, it's the one with Samuel Jackson and Ben Affleck. And Ben Affleck's like a lawyer.
Changing Lanes?
Yes.
I've not seen that.
Not an amazing movie, but if you like confined amount of time and Samuel Jackson and just like human conflict, great movie.
Sammy Jackson.
Okay, okay.
Yes. Very like, again, him being like, I'm just trying to look out for my family and all this bullshit keeps happening to me. That's my favorite. I think that might be my favorite kind of Samuel Jackson character.
Have you guys seen Sleep on a Plane?
Yeah.
I saw it opening night in the theater.
I saw it with my parents, which was strange.
Oh, I was trying to think it was A Time to Kill with Samuel L. Jackson, same thing.
I've not seen
it. Oh, that one I don't know if I can handle. I specifically didn't see that one because it just seemed...
It's essentially a ramped up melodramatic version of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Got it.
Basically, the premise is a couple of southern dudes affiliated with the Klan rape Samuel L. Jackson's teenage daughter, are let free, and then he shoots them, kills them, and then he goes to trial for it.
Oh, wow.
And it's such... Because
it's Matthew McConaughey's the lawyer.
Yeah, McConaughey's the lawyer.
Oh, yeah, I heard that's amazing.
It's so fucking stupid.
Oh, is it?
Well, because here's the thing.
I heard it's amazing. It's so funny.
Samuel, like, the performances are great, and it's a good movie if you pretend to not know anything about how the American justice system is supposed to work.
Okay.
Because basically, without giving much away, the crux of the movie is like, oh, should Samuel L. Jackson be guilty of killing people? Like, you see him kill people, so absolutely, he should.
Yeah. It's not like a, like, should he have done this? It's like, a, does he go to jail for this crime?
Right.
That
yeah, and it's like...
It's like
nobody,
yes, people understand it, but...
Yeah, nobody is saying, like... Racism doesn't exist, like, because, like, McConaughey's, like, whole closing argument, like, it's so fucking stupid.
I think
like,
I've seen that, isn't that pretty famous? He's like, now imagine it's...
Picture those terrible things happening to this girl, like, Samuel Jackson's daughter, now imagine she's white.
And,
like, fuck you!
She probably get a lot more sympathy, but the dad should still go to jail.
Right.
But, yeah, her dad also still shot two people.
Right.
And I'm glad those people are dead. But
He even says, yes, I'm glad they're dead, and I hope they burn in hell. Which is a great line. Yeah, it's a fun movie, but, yeah,
it's so fun.
Like, it's... Sorry, not fun. It's
real rollicking good time.
It is a movie with, like, really good performances that those characters...
Okay,
like, those actors are typically known
for. So it's a solid
for.
Movie, but...
But, yeah, like, just in terms of the story is so fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like, and I appreciate when movies try and tackle, like, complicated
issues
like that. But, like, to do it in such a way that they don't... There's, like, we don't know how the real world works.
Yeah, that's a little trickier.
Yeah, so it's...
Yeah. Fair enough.
But Sam Jackson is very good in that movie.
Okay, back to Die Hard 3.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Always.
I appreciate the super badass female villain, even though she never spoke, but even
yeah.
she was... That's better.
She spoke with her knife.
Seriously. And like it was like a little sickle knife. It was like a curved.
It was definitely a farming tool.
Yeah, that knife was made for murdering people. That was not her being like, oh, I keep this around because it's handy. It wasn't like a Swiss Army knife.
Like everything made it creepier. She was just so bad.
And the big old neck scar.
Yes, I love that you pointed that out because I'd never noticed it before. Because when they're having the briefing with the FBI dudes, they even mention that like somebody like
put a bomb
in their bed and they think that they got her. So it's like, oh, is that why she doesn't talk anymore? Like, that's really cool. Like, they put so much thought into something that like most people didn't even fucking notice.
Oh, it was so good.
And like, and it's little stuff like that that makes me appreciate a movie more than I already do.
Yeah. My favorite. I mean, there's many favorite villains of mine, but my favorite female villains are like someone tried to fuck with them. They have a really cool scar from it, and now they're gonna murder everybody.
Yeah.
Like that just seems like a really nice combo because it's like such a wonderful portrayal of not like this woman that's like, I'm doing this because I'm emotional. I'm doing this because of this. It's just like,
cold-blooded.
Yeah, it's like,
nah, nobody fucks with me.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, like, we were talking about it before we started recording, Lena Headey as Mama in Dread.
Yes. Have you seen Dread?
I have not.
Oh, I'll watch it with you.
Oh, it's so good.
She is just a very badass villain, and she has like a really awesome face scar the whole movie, and her premise as a villain, this doesn't give away much of the movie, just that she was a prostitute, and someone tried to, like, as a prostitute, like, choke her or kill her or something, and she murdered them with her bare hands.
Yeah.
And then became a super like
drug after she bit their dick off.
Yes,
and I can totally imagine her being an amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, she has like this crazy brown hair that's everywhere. That's like big, and she's just very.
Lena Headey's so fucking good.
Oh, you would love that movie because also again, very confined amount of time and very confined space. It's one day where they go in to check out this one disturbance, and then like all the shit hits the fan.
Yeah,
Lena is the main villain.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, so good.
Carl Urban is so fucking good as Dredd too.
Also very confined time, and this reminded me of it a little bit. When this movie started and they were running around the city and like doing all the tasks, Bruce Willis, and this is a movie that not as many other people like, but 16 Blocks with Bruce Willis.
I actually haven't seen 16 Blocks.
I love so much, and it reminded me of it just in the sense of the premise is there's like a bunch of crooked cops, Mos Def is there to like, is a witness to testify, and he has to get from where he is to 16 blocks down the street to testify, but literally like mob people and cops and everyone's out to get him, and Bruce Willis is his escort. And so it's like a very amazing, I love it. And Mos Def, who I love. And
he's great.
I'm not going to give the movie line movie away, but we'll watch it. It has my favorite line of dialogue in a movie that I think I've ever heard.
Okay.
Teaser podcast people.
I kind of want to know what the line is.
It's also a really good moment surrounding the line, so I can't ruin it.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. All right, we'll have to watch this very soon then.
I know. As much as we loved this movie, we keep like
talking about other.
What happened?
Well, it's almost like there's so I almost don't know what to say about it. I'm like, it's amazing.
Yeah, there was no like cheesy like this. Like, haha, this character. It was just all...
Yeah.
The only cheesy moment, I was a little nervous in the beginning, because they're like, they blew up a department store, and they're like, who'd want to blow up a department store? And they're like, ever seen a woman miss a shoe sale?
Well, and also at the beginning, they literally called him a loose cannon. I was like, oh no.
Yeah. I didn't even hear them say loose cannon.
Yeah, they were like, isn't that what they said?
They called him a loose cannon.
Yeah, he was a loose cannon, so we had to suspend him or something.
Oh my gosh.
They did it in two also, right?
Yeah,
they're like, you're a loose cannon. And here
it was like every trip.
I like it too. Though. Here they like.
You're a cop who plays by his own rules. But damn it if you don't get results.
Yeah, exactly.
Happened immediately. But I do like, it's almost like they had to get it all out of the way where they're like, big explosion the first minute, tank top first minute, making fun of sassy women first minute, and loose cannon.
Play by the book.
Yeah, like we gotta get all this out of the way because we both have terrorism and a heist going on.
Right.
And this revenge plot. We need to do all this shit.
So what do you think happened between John and his wife? Why were they not together at the beginning of this movie?
I think he's a loose cannon.
I think she was sick of the whole terrorism thing.
I think a little bit of that. Also, I think, like, they had this amazing reunion, and then she's like, cool, remember how we live in L.A. together? And he was like, nah, I'm going to still live in New York.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, and
because
he loves New York.
Yeah, I think it's unresolved shit from the first one still.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's like their same issues have
like
always
been
happening.
That's the real story of this franchise. It's John and his wife.
John and Holly, will they?
Not after this one.
Oh, it's just they're like, okay, they're just separated. It's just gone. Okay.
Well, and also because the next one, Live Free or Die Hard, is the longest gap in between them, and it's 12 years after Die Hard with a Vengeance.
So, okay.
Like the first three are over a space of, like, 8 years.
Yeah.
Which is reasonable. But then, like, to have 12 years between an entry.
Yeah.
I think that the phone call was important in this one, that even if they don't get back together, like, they have children together, and I think it shows that they respect each other, but they're just not meant to be together.
Yeah, he's maybe growing.
Every time we're together, some terrorist shit happens. Yeah. Maybe they should stay in separate cities.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell you guys right now, that like, this is the topping out point for the rest of the franchise.
Okay.
Like, none of them are getting...
It's downhill from here.
Well, we're only watching one of the other two. Yeah, if you want to watch Five on your own...
Who plays his son in Five?
A fucking nameless dude.
Okay.
He was... it was the same dude that played one of the villains in Jack Reacher. I can't think of his name, but he's some vanilla Sam Worthington blank slate looking motherfucker.
Okay.
So... No, yeah, it's... Yeah, oh, God. The next two get so dumb.
That's actually really excited.
I like Live Free or Die Hard a lot, but it's...
But it's not one and three.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, I will say, like, this one was an amazing movie, but it is fun when you're, like, gathering around watching a movie. Cheesy movies are fun to watch.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because this one, I just was like, holy shit.
I know, like, I just, like, didn't want to miss anything.
I have very little to say about it. Yeah. So, podcast, I have very little to say. It was great.
I mean, I do still have a theory that Argyle...
Yes.
And I think Samuel L. Jackson's child, one of his kids, grows up, goes back in time to be Argyle, and the guy from the last movie, he's just saving John McClane so that they can get to this point in time.
Oh, because John McClane then saves his dad. Although, John McClane wasn't there, Dad would have just, like, kept running his shop.
Yeah.
But the kid didn't know that.
Maybe something else would have happened.
Yeah.
Maybe someone would have tried to rob his store if he hadn't got off to stop McClane. He would have gotten shot and killed.
Exactly.
How can we know? Future's unwritten.
So you're saying that Zeus's kid is a looper.
Yes, exactly.
That all of it is coming full circle.
No, so it's like, then there's all kinds of grandfather paradoxes, and I just don't care, because time travel movies don't care about them.
Right, exactly.
And Looper maybe is the movie that most aggressively says, look, just shut the fuck up and stop worrying about how time travel works.
I actually thought of Looper when they were saying, like, yesterday in the movie that they were in, too, they're like, oh, the government, military, and then Bruce Willis goes, who gives a shit? That's exactly how the time travel thing works in Looper, where
really?
He's like, he's like, explain it to me, and he's like, no.
Yeah.
We're not going to waste time, which is so smart, because you can never actually explain time travel in a way that makes sense for a movie, and so they're like, it works.
Just go
with us.
Like, just
then
go
at
crazy
the
worrying about it. Don't worry about it. Just fucking...
Let's all just have fun, everyone.
Yeah.
Do you know who I did miss in this one? It was John Leguizamo.
No Burke.
Little baby John Leguizamo was
little
a nice addition.
John Leguizamo on his one line.
Yeah. And so I feel like that could have been
added. I mean, I did miss Al.
Oh, yeah,
you're right.
He was not in this one.
You're right, Al.
Although I will say, like, as much as I like seeing Al, he's so very clearly, like, shoehorned into two.
Like, run these fingerprints for me.
Yeah,
like,
you're the only cop I can trust.
Yeah, like, run these fingerprints. Not to, you know, a precinct where I work or anything.
Right.
Although the precincts where they work didn't trust him. They would have been like, what are you talking about? We're
like,
not going to run these fingerprints.
You're crazy, John.
He needs one cop that trusts him no matter what. Because he's such a loose cannon. He needs a cop that is a sturdy cannon.
But again, I think that's what, like you brought up, that's what was great about this one, is they were like, okay, maybe you're not just a crazy person.
Yes.
Yeah,
like, how many terrorists is he going to stop before they're like, maybe we'll trust your instincts on this
one?
Right. Oh, I think this guy's on to something.
Yeah.
And of course, the bomb detonator was amazing.
Oh.
He was an amazing person.
Oh, Charlie.
Yes.
Oh, Charlie. Yeah, yeah.
Charlie was my favorite new character introduced.
Yeah, Charlie was good.
He was adorable. He was enthusiastic about his job.
Yeah, he was.
And he was willing to... Just for three or four kids, he's going to sacrifice his life.
Yes.
And that they're like, you got to get out of there now, that's an order. He's like, I will not, I will stop this bomb. And then he gets covered in syrup.
He was a real loose cannon.
Yep.
He was too. He was a loose cannon that cared about kids.
Yeah.
Just that great moment when he just blows up the chair at the beginning of the
I like that he just is so enthusiastic about bombs. And it was like the perfect illustration of like, this is what a paperclip amount of this can do.
Yeah.
And then like, obviously.
And then also, it was a good one. It was like, oh, surely this won't come in handy for one of our heroes later. Oh, wait, absolutely.
Yes.
I was like, he blows up the chair, everyone else is pissed, and his response is just, pretty cool stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Just like a little kid.
Yes. I really liked him. And he also got his moment to be a hero, but I'm really glad he didn't die.
Yeah.
Because I really
liked
him.
Like, he gets to remember that he's a hero.
Yes.
Yeah, like, Ricky was enough, damn it.
I feel like his cop friends owe him, if he is single, that they owe him at a bar bringing up that story, telling the story.
Because
he can't bring it up. That's a douche move. Like, one time I saved a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
But they can be like, he was willing to risk his life for children, and he's really smart, and... Then he got covered in syrup.
Yeah. Can we also talk about how, if he didn't already have it, how bad John McClane's tinnitus is after this movie? After firing a gun in an elevator like 12 times?
God. After being in the water for a gigantic explosion?
Yeah. I feel like maybe that was why he and his wife don't work out, is he just can't listen anymore. She's like, you didn't listen before, now.
I see you're about to just ring it's all I'm getting right now.
I know. Amazing. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, favorite moments.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Well, I will say there were a lot of moments in this movie that I was just, like, ooh, like, squeamish during. Like, there was so...
Yeah.
The knife murder really freaked you out.
It did. Well, even, like, when Samuel L. Jackson got cut, I was like, whoa, there
Yes, I really thought that was going to be a, like, little tussle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, his arm just got slit open.
That's, like, part of me almost wishes you had watched every single movie we've done with us. Just because nobody reacts like you two do. And I love it. Like, I love, like, just seeing, like, you guys, like, just being affected by what's happening.
I do. Movies like this, especially, I feel like we were, like, doing yoga on the couch, basically. We were like, like, not
really
myself against this. But it was such a good
movie. Yeah, like, trying to, like, melt into the couch, like, oh, my God.
It's like, I can get away from this.
Yes.
Even, like, the moment where John, like, bit the,
the
thing out of
the
his
shard
own.
Of the table.
I was like,
luckily, I didn't get what he was doing, so I was like, shocked by that.
Oh, he's drinking his own blood so he can live forever. He's gonna be immortal.
I got it.
He's gonna
That's
be a night walker.
That's smart to do if you're about to get exploded.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Perfect. Yeah. So 4 will be disappointing.
Yeah, it was. I think if you guys like 2, I think you'll still have fun with 4. It just,
I like, even again, if they have any of the elements of action movies, I like. Like how a lot of people are with romantic comedies where they'll watch them even if they're just complete bags of shit.
Yeah,
I am that way about action movies.
Yeah,
and I'm like, even if it's the worst thing in the world, like any like action chase movie, I'll still watch it and I'll love it.
Yeah, it's got like there's a couple of cool action sequences and like I said, Timothy Olyphant really does fucking carry like the movie as the villain.
Okay,
he's so good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So,
I'm excited. Is he German?
No, he's American.
Oh, an American.
Switching it up.
Yeah.
Okay.
They found out about that Lisa Perry was going to figure out the code for Die Hard. They're like, we don't want to see him one note, do we? But it's okay. He has a bunch of, like, European and Russian mercenaries under his employ.
Okay. Do they fake accents?
I don't think so.
Not interested.
Yeah, but say, all the things that you loved in this one are going to be pretty much non-present in Live Free or Die Hard. So just know that. We're going to wrap there. First, we're going to do our favorite moments. Let's go around and do those, Laura.
I want to say Sickle Murder.
I was going to say that because it's just so badass.
It's so badass. If it's not Sickle Murder, it is... anything with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson is solid.
I think, like, the introduction of his character, honestly, was, like, a very... That's, like, less dramatic of a moment, but it was, like, a very solid, this is what this guy is about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how they meet and everything else, so...
Who don't we want to help us? White people.
Right,
I know.
That was amazing.
I mean, I really liked the moment when the guy found out that there were kids in the school, and he's like, I'm staying. Like, that was
because
that was just,
that was
like, I, like, almost started crying. I was like,
we were very, I mean, you especially were very emotional about those kids. He's very cares about kids, guys. Even fictional ones. And I was like, I know, I'm like, they're going to go hide. And then he's driving me, And then you knew they were Samuel Jackson's kids.
Yes.
And he did all that, and then his kids died. How about you, favorite moment?
For me, there's a couple. the two of them are involved cars.
The taxi
through the park sequence
that was
great.
That was amazing.
Like, that entire sequence is fucking wonderful.
Yeah, that was a long sequence.
Yeah.
Like, the whole car sequence, that was
really
cool.
Yeah, that was really solid. When John McClane gets shot up out of the aqueduct and gets picked up by Sam Jackson.
Oh, that's
Where they cut the anti-lock brakes and he just 360s and shoots the truck behind him and then runs him off the road.
Yeah.
That is such a ridiculous and awesome, like,
there were some amazing. I also really like the sassy go between where they're like, can you hotwire this car? He's like, of course I can. And then he just shoves, like, a knife into the ignition.
Yeah.
He's like, that would take too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like Samuel Jackson is, like, very scrappy and, like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Thank God it wasn't this, like, very, like, out of shape, non-skilled guy. I know, he's like a locksmith and, like, a guy, a whiz with math and all these other things.
Yeah.
Thank God, and wasn't hungover.
Right. Yeah, yeah, that was pretty key.
Yeah.
The other one for me is the fight with Targo in the ship's cargo hold. The big
jet. That was good.
That was, yeah.
Like,
he didn't even care. He got stabbed in the leg.
Yeah,
and
he didn't feel it.
But it was, because it was basically, they were like, oh man, that fight between McClane and Carl in the first Die Hard was really fucking awesome.
Yes.
Let's bring that back.
Yeah.
A little shorter version, but,
yes.
But yeah, that was so good. Like, you just, I love, like, anytime McClane just starts beating on a person and yelling at him, it's like, he has to know that they can't hear him anymore, but he's still yelling at them, like, for his comfort.
I know, he's very passionate. I am glad, too, and it wasn't too cheesy that he got to say yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Oh, of course not.
Because of course you're going to say that
right.
When
oh,
yes. happens.
Right.
You don't not say yippee-ki-yay,
motherfucker. Yeah, even he knows, like, oh, this is what I say now.
Yes, I mean, in this very specific situation of me thwarting a bunch of terrorists.
And, like, I said this same thing to his brother, like,
It's like, the big payoff for him.
Right.
That's his only reward.
Well, and then right before that, he says, say hello to your brother for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then follows it. It's like, ah, oh, he's dead. He didn't hear that, but I'm sure he appreciates the sentiment.
Probably couldn't hear it up in a helicopter.
Right.
Yeah. What also, what I love, too, is, like, after, like, the first one is the only time where he says that, and it's not, like, a kill line.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it's just like a back and forth with him and Hans. It's just like, just real casual, like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, I am a cowboy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Every other time it's like, blow up a plane
yeah.
or kill a bad guy. It's like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, is like the punchline.
He is really good at exploding aircraft.
Yeah.
That is like his main move. So good for him.
Oh, if you're on board with exploding aircrafts, live for your Die Hard. I'm going to serve you up at least one sequence you'll like that.
Excellent.
No, two.
Oh. Wow.
All right. I think we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you again, Lisa and Laura, for coming
on
and doing
this.
Yes.
And,
this is amazing.
Live Free or Die Hard will be coming up soon. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Yay.
Join us next time as we finish out with Live Free or Die Hard with Lisa Berry and Laura Sanders. All leading up to this month's Struck a Nerve, the Pop Culture Mixtape. You can find out more about that at popculturemixtape.tumblr.com. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions for the show, send them to howhaveyounotseenthispodcast@gmail.com. Remember to subscribe to the page on iTunes and like the page on Facebook. And we'll catch you next time.